Well, let us begin by worshiping the King this morning, 108. We're going to be looking at another prayer in Nehemiah. I think this is the last one, a long one, but there is, we will see there's 1/4 a day given to the Word, 1/4 a day given to confession and worship. So, tremendous amount of worship going on there with the children of Israel at that particular time. So we want to just worship the King. We'll sing first, third, and fourth verse. Oh, worship the King, all glorious above, and gratefully sing His wonderful love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise. Number 3. Thy bountiful care, what tongue can recite? It breathes in the air, it shines in the light. It streams from the hills, it descends to the plain, and sweetly distills in the dew and the rain. Fourth verse. Frail children of dust, and feeble as frail, in thee do we trust, nor find thee to fail. Thy mercies, how tender, how firm to the end, our Maker, Redeemer, and Friend. We see those mercies continuing. We'll turn in Nehemiah today, and as we've mentioned in the past, we had one prayer in Nehemiah where he was the cupbearer. And then we had a couple of three prayers where he was building the wall. Now the wall has been completed, and we have him as governor. And we see a very, very typical situation where we see the mercy of the Lord and we see the rebelliousness of the people. And I was just thinking as I was reading through this prayer how God has made us, you know. We have, one level, it's at the fleshly level. You know, we eat a big meal and we say, I'm never going to eat again, right? Have you ever said that after a big meal? I'm never going to eat again. I'm so stuffed, I'm never going to eat again. But in about 3 or 4 hours or maybe 6 or whatever it is, we're back to the table again, aren't we? And, you know, I think it's like that to a degree with our walk with the Lord and with our faith. We come to the Lord, we remember all the great things and all the beautiful experiences and all, and we think we've gone from a total sinner to a total saint, if you would. And that's the way we see ourselves, maybe. And then we fall away. And then we come back, and we fall away, we come back, and some fall all the way down, and then come back, and some fall all the way down, and we don't know if they ever come back. But there's always this turning to the Lord. He lifts us up, He shows His mercy, He blesses us, and in our prosperity, whether it's faith or material or both, then we turn away from Him. And we see it over and over and over and over and over and over again, don't we? And none of us is, I don't think, resistant to that. I mean, we may be resistant, but none of us is free from that. And so it's a constant need to worship Him. It's a constant need to confess our sins to Him. It's a constant need to be in Word and a constant need to be in prayer. And there's no shortcuts to that. You can't say, well, I prayed and I read and I did and I worshiped the Lord 2 weeks ago and that's going to last me now for a year. It's not. It's not going to last you much at all because we have the other things coming at us. So here we have on the 24th day of the month in chapter 9, verse 1 of Nehemiah, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting in sackcloth and with dust on their heads. That must be wonderful to see a whole group of people fasting. And they stood and they confessed their sins and the iniquities. And then in verse 3, they kind of gives us the order a little bit. They stood up in their place and read from the book of the law of the Lord their God for 1/4 of the day.
There it is.
So all of you who like short sermons and think that 20 minutes is enough. But here they're reading from the book of the law 1/4 of the day. Now, I'm not sure if that would be 6 hours, if we're talking about 24 hours, or if we're talking about maybe a 12-hour day. But at minimum, it'd be 3 hours, wouldn't it? So this is some serious time. And for another 1/4 of the day, another 3 to 6 hours, they confessed and worshiped the Lord. So here we have 3 to 6 hours spent during this time of, actually 6 to 12 hours, really, totally. 6 to 12 hours of time spent here by the children of Israel. Now, we have a number of priests here. They cry with a loud voice, Yeshua, Bani, Kadmiel, Shebaniah, Bunny, Sherebiah, Bani, Shanini, and they cry out with a loud voice to the Lord. And then the priests, again, these are some of the same guys, Jeshua, Kadmiel, Bani, Hashbaniah, Sherebiah, Hajiha, Shebaniah, and Pethahiah, they stand. And some people think that these were individual prayer groups, because there are a lot of people there, and you probably didn't have one priest praying after another, but you might have. We don't know. But anyway, you have all these priests leading in prayer now. And we have, from verse 5 all the way over to verse 38, this prayer. And it is really an awesome prayer. We have about 15 verses here of introduction and addressing the Lord. And it's truly remarkable as we see the awesomeness of this prayer. Stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever. That isn't too bad a way to start, is it? Stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever. Blessed be your glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. You alone are the Lord. You have made heaven, the heavens of heavens with all their hosts, the earth and everything in it, the seas and all that is in them, and you preserve them all. The host of heaven worships you. Awesome. Isn't that a good way to start a prayer? So when you get to a point sometime where you think you're a little bit dry, just pull old Nehemiah 9 out and spend some time, particularly in this early part, and get your clock out. And after a half a day has gone by, then you won't be feeling down in the dumps anymore. I'm kind of kidding on the half a day, but they did spend a half a day here in this. You are the Yahweh Elohim. You are the Lord God who chose Abram and brought him out of Ur of the Chaldeans and gave him the name Abraham. You found his heart faithful before you and made a covenant with him to give the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, and the Girgashites, to give it to his descendants. You have performed your words, for you are righteous. Isn't it awesome we have a righteous God? Isn't it awesome we have a good God? You saw the affliction of our fathers in Egypt and heard their cry by the Red Sea. You showed signs and wonders against Pharaoh, against all his servants, and against all the people of his land, for you knew that they acted proudly against them. So you made a name for yourself as it is this day. You divided the sea before them so that they went through the midst of the sea on the dry land and threw their persecutors into the mighty deep. Anybody get an idea that this was like an 8-inch deep lake here? I mean, we have it over and over. We have it in the Psalms. We have it in the account back in the days of Moses. It was deep water because it drowned the whole Egyptian army. Into the deep as a stone into the mighty waters. Moreover, you led them by day with a cloudy pillar and by night with a pillar of fire to give them light on the road which they should travel. We're in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 13. You came down also on Mount Sinai and spoke with them from heaven and gave them just ordinances and true laws, good statements and commandments. You made known to them your holy Shabbat and commanded them precepts, statutes, and laws. By the hand of Moses, your servant, you gave them bread and heaven from their hunger or for their hunger and brought them water out of the rock for their thirst and told them to go in to possess the land, which you had sworn to give them. So we have just a really a neat worshipful history here, don't we? Bringing them all the way up to and including through the wilderness. Now look at this tragic word beginning verse 16. But they and our fathers acted proudly, hardened their necks. We'll see this term, hardened their necks, three times in this prayer. Hardened their necks and did not heed your commandments. They refused to obey and were not mindful of your wonders that they did among them, but they hardened their necks, and in their rebellion they appointed a leader to return to their bondage. Now, here we have just a picture of such a rebelliousness, and you know, I see myself so clearly in that, just so clearly with this rebelliousness, and it's shocking at times, because you say, hey, I'm really coming along and walking better with the Lord, and into the Word and in prayer, and I watch Him working in my life so magnificently, doing such great things. But then these thoughts or these deeds come along where you're just so rebellious. Maybe that just happens to me. Probably never happens to you, right? It was just the children of Israel and me. That's it, right? But not never even. But look at this. They hardened their neck. They did not heed the commands. They refused to obey. They were not mindful of His wonders. We just take it for granted, and we moan and complain over some little nothing, and we totally miss the whole picture, it seems, so often, as they did here. But look at the response of God. But you are God, ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abundant in kindness, and you did not forsake them any more than you forsake us. Even when they made a molten calf for themselves and said, this is your God that brought you up out of Egypt and worked great provocations, yet in your manifold mercies you did not forsake them in the wilderness. The pillar of the cloud did not depart from them by day to lead them on the road, nor the pillar of fire by night to show them light and the way they should go. You also gave your good spirit to instruct them and did not withhold their manna, your manna from their mouth, and gave them water for their thirst. 40 years you sustained them in the wilderness. They lacked nothing. Their clothes did not wear out. Their feet did not smell. No. Swell. I don't know if they smelled either. But their feet did not swell. Moreover, you gave them kingdoms and nations and divided them into districts. So they took possession of the land of Sihon, the land of the king of Heshbon, and the land of Og, king of Bashan. You also multiplied their children as the stars of heaven and brought them into the land which you had told their fathers to go in and possess. So the people went in and possessed the land. You subdued before them the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, and gave them into their hands and with their kings and the people of the land that they might do with them as they wished. They took strong cities and a rich land and possessed houses full of all goods. Cisterns already dug, vineyards, olive groves, and fruit trees in abundance, and they ate and were filled and grew fat and delighted themselves in your great goodness. Oh, if we could just end it there, and they lived obediently ever after. But we read, nevertheless, they were disobedient and rebelled against you, cast your law behind their backs, killed your prophets who testified against them to turn them to yourself, and they worked great provocation. Therefore, you deliver them into the hand of their enemies. You see that happening to us right now as a nation?
Oh, absolutely.
Who oppressed them, and in the time of their trouble when they cried to you, you heard from heaven, and according to your abundant mercies, you gave them deliverers who saved them from the hand of their enemies. But after they had rest, they again did evil before you. Therefore, you left them in the hand of their enemies so that they had dominion over them. Yet when they returned and cried out to you and heard from heaven, and many times you delivered them according to your mercy and testified against them. Isn't that true of you and I? Many times how the Lord just delivers us and just pardons us and just doesn't turn His back on us. And testified against them that you might bring them back to your law. Yet they acted proudly and did not heed your commandments, but sinned against your judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them. And they shrugged their shoulders, here's a third time, stiffened their necks, and would not hear. Yet, for many years you had patience with them and testified against them by your spirit in your prophets. Yet, they would not listen. Therefore, you gave them into the hand of the prophets of the people. You know, this keeps going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth here, doesn't it? Nevertheless, in your great mercy, you did not utterly consume them nor forsake them, for you are God, gracious and merciful. Now, therefore, our God, the great, the mighty, and awesome God, who keeps covenant and mercy, do not let all the trouble seem small before you that has come up on us. Now they're getting to the present day. Our kings and our priests, our kings and our princes, our priests and our prophets, our fathers and all our people from the days of the kings of Assyria until this day. However, you are just in all that has befallen us, for you have dealt faithfully, but we have done wickedly. Neither our kings nor our princes, our priests nor our fathers have kept your law, nor heeded your commandments and your testimonies with which you testified against them, for they have not served you in their kingdom or in the good many things that you gave them or in the large and rich land which you set before them, nor did they turn from their wicked works. But now here they're going to return to the Lord. Here we are, servants today. I pray that would be our heart today. Here we are, servants today. And the land which you gave to our fathers to eat its fruit and its bounty, here we are, servants in it. And it yields much increase to the kings you have set over us. Because of our sins also they have dominion over our bodies and our cattle, and at their pleasure we are in great distress. And because of this we make a sure covenant and write it. Our leaders, our Levites, and our priests seal it. So the end of this prayer is they are going to make this sure covenant, and they're going to write it down, and they put all these names on it in the first 27 verses of chapter 10. They seal the covenant, and we read in verse 29, these joined with their brethren, their nobles, and entered into a curse and an oath to walk in God's law, which was given by Moses, the servant of God, and to observe and do all the commandments of the Lord, our Lord, and his ordinances and his statutes. And they go on and on, and you would think, praise God, the nation is turned. Well, go on over a little bit to chapter 13, verse 6. We have Nehemiah having gone back to Babylon for about 12 years. It was the 20th year of the king's reign when he received the bad news as cupbearer, and then he went and built the wall. I don't know how long all that took. It took a little while, maybe a year or so, maybe more. And now it's the 32nd year, so this is 12 years after the 20th year. So this is 12 years later. How long he was gone, we don't know, but maybe he was gone 10 years or so. And he comes back, and here all the evil is going on once again. Now this is just reminiscent of the Ezra experience, which, you know, Ezra, when he came back and cleaned everything up, then it was 13 years later that Nehemiah came back and it was all in shambles again. And here he comes back 12 years later or 10 years later. It grieved him bitterly in verse 8 because here these guys have moved into the temple and using the temple for storage rooms and one thing and another. He throws out all of the household. Here's old good old Tobiah again. Remember, he was one of the enemies of the wall. Threw out all the household goods of Tobiah. He commanded them to cleanse the room. He realized the portions for the Levites had not been given, for they and the singers who did the work had gone back to the field. They weren't even worshiping anymore. And this is in 10 years. So you see, we can come to the Lord today, which we want to, but we also need to come to the Lord tomorrow, don't we? And the next day, and the next day, and the next day. Because we can't get enough in one sitting to last us forever. It doesn't work that way, does it? And God wants us to come to him, doesn't he? If he would put us in bodies that we're going to have as a glorified body, we wouldn't sin. We wouldn't need him very often, would we? We'd say, oh, I'm doing fine, Lord. I'll let you know when, you know, I run into trouble. But we can't get through an hour without trouble, can we? And so we like to think that I'm really getting close to the Lord. I can handle it now, Lord. Just watch me. And he for sure will have you fail because he loves you too much to let you succeed in your own strength, because he wants us to come to him. So here we are this morning. We have some moments to pray together. When we get a little later on this morning, I'd like to close by just going around the room and lifting up 5 or 10 names, however many come to your heart. Just first names, and we'll pray for their salvation, and we'll just name one at a time and go around the room and say amen either quietly or in our hearts to each of these names. But in the meantime, let's pray for the church. Let's pray for our pastors. Let's pray for the missionaries. Let's pray for the world leaders, this country, and whatever you're led to pray for, because here we are to respond to the Spirit, not man's plans, but just being obedient and compliant to His leading hand. So lead us now, Father. As we bow down, as in one accord, we respond our spirit with yours, Lord. In Jesus' name.